Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A volunteer advisor to Barack Obama resigned Friday after calling rival Hillary Clinton a monster. Responded Hillary.
Thank you, Amy Poehler, on Saturday Night Live. All right, one question quiz. Who is the monster in the following story? An advisor to Obama says this about Hillary Clinton to a newspaper reporter. Quote, she is a monster, too. That is off the record. She is stooping to anything, unquote. The newspaper publishes the quote. The monster is A, Hillary Clinton for stooping to anything, B, the advisor to Barack Obama for calling Clinton a monster, C, the newspaper editor for ignoring the words off the record. If you answered C, the newspaper editor, you are like a lot of people writing into the newspaper, The Scotsman, yes, it's in Scotland, since they published the remark on Friday, causing the resignation of the advisor, Pulitzer Prize-winning human rights activist Samantha Power. The newspaper is defending its decision on the grounds that Power said her piece about Clinton before asking that it be off the record, or at least she used the M word before she said off the record. We thought it would be a good time to lift the veil on the inside journalism term off the record and other little verbal agreements between journalists and sources. And who better for this than professional veil lifter Brooke Gladstone, host and managing editor of NPR's On the Media, produced here at WNYC. Good morning, Brooke.
Good morning, Brian. May I just say that you may have left out monster number four, or at least contestant for monster number four.
Yes.
And that would be Jerry Peeve. Great name. The reporter at The Scotsman who was conducting the interview with Samantha Power. Now, Samantha Power said, this is off the record, I believe that that Ms. Peeve was in her right to not allow her that option. When you set the parameters for an interview, you go ahead. But if she had been a nicer person or perhaps less interested in the gotcha, she would have told Samantha Powers that she simply wasn't going to change the basis of the interview, even for a silly remark, and allowed Samantha Power then the opportunity to do some damage limiting, not go off the record, not hide it, you know, not if she'd violated the basis of their agreement, but to simply have given her the opportunity, or at least the knowledge that it was going to be included in the interview. She didn't do that. I think that I won't say that that was an ethical felony. I think it falls into something along the line of a traffic violation, but one that really flattened Samantha Powers. I think she could have been a little bit nicer about that.
Well, we've just revealed the problem with multiple choice tests. They don't allow for D, another of your judgment. But off the record, what do those three little words actually mean?
Now, off the record is it's a really tricky one. And I think it behooves every reporter to make sure that the person that you're talking to understands what you take it to mean. Generally, it means that you can't use the information, but you can use the information to frame your story. You can use the information go and take that information that somebody has given you off the record, find somebody else to say it on the record, now that you know what it is, and include it in your piece. Or it simply can't appear at all. These are the different bases. Now, some people say, some sources say, if I say it's off the record, you can't use it. Well, what if you hear it from that guy, and then you hear it from three other people? Has the first person's fiat prevented you from using it? No, of course not. So I think most people understand that off the record means you can't use this information as I have supplied this to you. Does it affect your brain? Does it affect your analysis? Does it affect your ability to get it from someone else? No.
Is there a difference between off the record and not for attribution?
Yes, there is. And not for attribution is really, I think, a better term in some ways because it's more descriptive. Generally, you can use that. It's not for attribution to me is sort of like background, which is sort of like deep background in a way, which is different from background. We can get to those if you want. Not for attribution means you can't attribute that to anybody. However, if you find five people to say the same thing, you could say, political scientists tend to agree that, or there is a widespread belief in the industry that, you know, so you haven't attributed to anybody mm-hmm. in particular. But in that case, you really need to have more than one person saying
right. So not for attribution is you can't attribute this to me. Off the record is somehow you can't use it unless you get it from someone else.
Yeah.
Those are just there's
right.
a nuance of difference.
That's right.
There.
Well, it's a big difference because they're, you know, in off the record, the source will not expect to see it in there unless there is somebody else's name
right.
attached to it and is not touching that source at all.
And that difference between background and deep background?
Yeah, the difference between background and deep background is kind of interesting. That background refers to information that you get that will be attributed in the story, but not to your name, to your title. For something on background, whenever you see a story that says senior administration official, generally it's some daily briefing being given by some guy in Washington that everybody knows who it is, but they just decide to make it look more important or for some peculiar political calculation that I've never understood. I feel it's used way too often. Rather than saying, you know, Deputy Secretary of Defense, blah, 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 said this, they simply say a senior Defense Department official or a senior administration official says that. When you go to deep background, you can own the info yourself. You can say, but you can't as a reporter. You can say there were five people present when that document was signed, but you can't say according to anybody.
Right.
And so you've got to use that information as one reporter once said, on your own dime.
And when you say senior administration official on a background story, it gets into the whole unnamed sources debate. Anyone who is an unnamed source has one of these deals with a reporter, has a reason for telling the reporter the thing. The reporter these days especially tries to tell the reader or the listener or the viewer as much context as they can as why the person didn't want to go on the record.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
You know?
You've opened up the enormous can of
right.
worms, you know, those worms gnawing away at the heart of American journalism. And if you had another hour, I could talk to you about that. But the fact of the matter is that there isn't enough offered. Even in, you know, updated New York Times guidelines, they made a real yeoman's effort there to state you must tell the reader why someone has chosen not to be named. But then you get into these tautological explanations along the lines of this person is not named because he preferred not to be named. Well, it doesn't really tell us anything.
Was afraid of retribution from their employer
yeah,
or was not authorized to speak publicly, did not speak publicly because they were not authorized to speak publicly. And then you get into one of the knocks against Judith Miller at the Times, which was that she agreed to identify, was it Scooter Libby or Cheney or someone, as a former House aide or something
like
that?
Yeah, which they'd been in, like, you know, 1937 right. or something like that. And
now,
thus attributing an action to Congress rather than to the White House. It was worse than just a bad ID. It was misdirection, and that's why she got hoist up on that one.
Brooke Gladstone, host and managing editor of NPR's On the Media, my guest on WNYC. We can get in a few phone calls, and our lines are filling up without me even saying 212-433-WNYC, or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And in this case, to get back to the specifics at hand, Samantha Power kind of blurted out the snipe at Hillary, then immediately declared it off the record. Again, listen carefully. Quote, "She is a monster, too. That is off the record. She is stooping to anything." And interestingly, Samantha Power was on Leonard Lopate recently to talk about her new book. This is before all of this, but listen to what she said when asked if she was concerned about saying things on a show like that and what impact it might have.
Yeah, what I'm learning in this campaign, I'm a political rookie, that's for sure. And what's upsetting, of course, is the degree to which people just cherry pick things that you've said and use ellipses and then turn you into something they need you to be in order to discredit your candidate. I don't think anybody cares that much about me. It's just there are a lot of people who would like to bring Obama down, especially now the more success he's having. So it's an adjustment.
So, not to say that this reporter from The Scotsman wanted to bring Obama down, but wanted a story.
Well, yeah, she definitely got a story. And, you know, Samantha Power knew better. She just showed that she knew better. Somebody writing about Ms. Peeve, Jerry Peeve, the reporter for The Scotsman, who disapproved of her action, another reporter named Ian Williams, wrote on the Guardian blog this poem. "You cannot hope to bribe or twist, thank God, the British journalist, but seeing what the man will do, unbribed, there's no occasion to." And I think the same could be said for American journalists or all journalists, and I certainly count myself among them. It's very hard to resist something that you know is going to go all the way around the world.
So before we take a few phone calls, the $64,000 question, because you are not just a media critic, producer of a show about the media. You have been a working journalist for many years. If that exact sequence of statements were to occur and you are the interviewer, what would you have done?
I would have... Yeah, you know, it really varies because some people you do want to protect a little bit when they don't know what they're doing. But I would say my most fiendish self would have said, you can't go off the record, but if you want to explain, you can have that opportunity.
Is that what your most ethical self also would have done?
My most ethical self probably would have realized that this was a meaningless slip of the tongue that really didn't advance the cause of human understanding.
Paul in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Brooke Letznow. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to throw my perspective in as a professional spokesperson who has been dealing directly with the media for many years. I had this discussion with my wife over the weekend, who was outraged that off the record was violated, and I said that must be established first. You can't. It's no backsies. You can't say something and then pull it back. If you want to go off the record, you have to establish that contract with the reporter in advance. I've done it many times. I have never been betrayed. I have said things on background. That's, by the way, when I become an industry expert. And I agree with Brooke, by the way. I am a regular listener on the media also.
Thank you.
And this did not advance the knowledge or the story. It was just too juicy to leave on the table.
Paul, thank you. No backsies. The same rule that applies in the third grade schoolyard applies in professional journalism. But here's what Howard Kurtz, in his Washington Post media column, said, technically, any agreement to put comments off the record, meaning they can't be reported, must be worked out in advance between journalist and source, same as he just said. But many reporters say it is common to grant such requests if they are made right after an inflammatory remark.
Well, yeah, no, I think that can be the decent thing to do. I don't know much about the Scotsman. You know, certain papers have different standards for what they think is important to report. Now, every interview is edited. This could have just as easily have been edited out. That was a choice made by one of your other potential devils in this piece, the editor.
Now, here is another PR professional who disagrees with the guy who just called in. Mike in New York City, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mike.
Yeah. Yes, good morning, Brian and Brooke. I don't necessarily disagree with him, and Paul from Brooklyn is right in that if you say up front something is off, a discussion is off the record, it's off the record. But if you're speaking on the record, generally speaking, if it's a reporter who you know you've dealt with many times, and you say something really boneheaded and really stupid, you say, oh, please, let me take that back. The few times I've done that, they've said okay, and they have not gone ahead and used it, even if it was juicy. So I think there's a sort of a trust level between the reporter and the spokesman that's important to develop. Sometimes people say things they don't mean, and they can be catastrophic, and I think they should be allowed to take them back if it's something they really didn't mean or just being clumsy about.
I just want to say, somebody asked me about the whole Samantha Powers thing this weekend, and I didn't know the details as well as I do now. I didn't know that she was... not informed that that she was not going to be granted the off-the-record moment there. But I do feel that Jerry Peeve, looking at her, the reporter, as coolly as one can, she probably followed the spirit, followed the letter of the journalism law, so to speak, but really violated the spirit of it.
Mike, thank you for your call. on. Now, I should say that I have interviewed Samantha Power on a number of read her first book. I think she is a moral giant. I really do. I think she is one of the world's leading human rights activists. I think she's someone who has unlimited potential, could someday win a Nobel Peace Prize for the kind of work that she has started down the road
unquestionably
doing. So to put her in larger context in that respect. But
just to hold on to that context for a moment, as you say, a moral giant, someone who has stared into the face of hell, into the abyss, who has looked upon the faces of monsters, to call Hillary Clinton one seems a little, maybe...
disproportional.
Yeah.
Yes, fair enough. And the first post on our comments page says, despite this non-story, Ms. Power will probably be Secretary of State. But I think, if nothing else, what we learned from this is that there is a big difference between a journalist and academic who peers closely into the hell of human rights violations and somebody who does work in the political sector. And she told Leonard in that interview clip that we played that she's a political rookie. I mean, Condoleezza Rice went from academia to national security advisor, and we see some of the political stumbles that she has made. So politics is a whole other game, no matter how much you know about your field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. And I don't think she was even being paid by the Obama campaign.
No,
do you?
She was an advisor.
She was.
Because of her knowledge and stance on policy pertaining to human rights.
Because I know that she had decided to take a year off from Harvard after seeing Obama and being so impressed with him.
That's right. Okay. Brooke Gladstone, host and managing editor of On the Media. We've cleared that all up, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Thanks for joining us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.